goes for goal and finishes off the PSG victory.
Nuno Mendes est lancé, Nuno Mendes navigue, Nuno Mendes passe devant Cuadrado, le tir, oh il est beau celui-là, le but de Nuno Mendes.
You know the football, it is what it is.
Le premier but de Ronald Colomboani avec le Paris Saint-Germain, ah, quelle joie!
Hello and welcome to PSG Review, the show with as much perseverance as Leivin Kurzawa. Think of him what you will, but in 2021 he reportedly had commented on the various transfer rumors and then sporting director Leonardo wanting him out that Leonardo will leave before me. And not only was he right about that, with quite a margin being substituted in the late October in 2023, but he also outlasted people like Neymar Jr. and Marco Verratti, and I doubt that many would have made those bets at the time. Great to have you with me right now. My name is Mikko and PSG Review is in collaboration with Parisian Londoner. You can find and follow me online on Twitter at PSG Review Pod and Instagram and TikTok as at PSG Review. You can also now email me psgreview.podcast@gmail.com. You can also share the episode, subscribe to the series and rate as well as review. All this is very helpful, but how good does it feel to be back from the international break? Very good. That is the answer to this rhetorical question. And we have a great show in store. PSG women have been busy. They sorted out their route to the Champions League group stage and also beat Lille in the domestic league. We look at them and their forthcoming Champions League group later in the show. And of course, we must start from Parc des Princes. Rainy October, early evening as RC Strasbourg came to town for a visit just days before the Champions League match against AC Milan. International breaks can feel quite long sometimes, and there's always a little bit of a concern there that some of the players will come back with an injury at worst, or even fatigue from traveling and jet lag from crossing several time zones. During the first international break of this season, Marco Asensio got injured with the Spanish national team and he's been sidelined ever since. Now he's not far from being back, which is good news because he really had an interesting start for the season. But this time it was our young man in charge, Warren Zaire-Emery, who had a little bit of a knock. Nothing too bad. He should not miss much of football. But against Strasbourg, he was unavailable. And players who were also given full rest for this match were Milan Skriniar, who up until this match had played every single minute of every match. Ashraf Hakimi wasn't too far behind. He had played nearly every minute, but he too was resting, as was Manuel Ugarte, also absent from the starting lineup, where Ousmane Dembele and Randal Kolo Muani. But still pretty solid 11 with a little bit of an interesting formation to boot, as we had Donnarumma in goal, back three with Marquinhos, Danilo and Lucas Hernandez. Midfield with Fabian Ruiz and Vitinha, and on varying levels of going forward, we had Carlos Soler, Lee Kang in, Bradley Barcola and Kylian Mbappe. This was considerable rotation really, and often when PSG rotates to this extent, it shows on the pitch, and at some point we do need to bring back the guys who could be resting because the backup just couldn't quite make it happen. This has been the case with many coaches and with many different players, but I'm happy to report that this was not the case this time around. That was perhaps the most significant thing about this match. Finally, we're able to provide some rest for key players and still perform on a good level. PSG was clearly dangerous and Strasbourg was a step behind quite literally early on a few times, sort of sliding in or reaching for the ball in defense while the ball had already gone out of their reach and the only thing they hit was the player. This gave us first a free kick from a reasonably dangerous area. It didn't result in goal, but moments later something quite similar happened in the box and that was then a penalty shot that was given and Kylian Mbappe scored it with a powerful shot despite Strasbourg Belgian goalkeeper Matzel, so I think it's pretty good goalkeeper actually. He was diving well towards the ball but the force was too much and it gave PSG the lead. Strasbourg was soon getting their goal, but VAR showed that Lebo Motiba had been ever so slightly offside and it didn't count, which was nice for us. Of course, a little mercy, I guess. In the VAR images, you could see that while the hand of Marquinhos was on the other side of Motiba, the feet weren't, and of course the offside is measured from body parts that you can score with. So in the end, I think the call was a right one, even if it would have been unlikely that they would have seen that with naked eye. The next goal for PSG had a little bit of the same issue, actually, but again, to our advantage. Kylian Mbappe had his hand in what would have been an offside position, but the feet were just about on the right side of the line, and he prepared the chance where Carlos Soler could just tap the ball in. It seemed at some point that it would have been given as an own goal, but now it looks like at the end it was given to Soler, who, by the way, had a very good match. Last week, I was giving you the PSG review's midterm assessments in the show, and I said that I'm not quite sure what the purpose or function of Carlos Soler is for us, but he certainly answered not just to my concerns, but of course those questions have been asked since he came. So this was a positive, and we will see if that form can continue. My guess is that Luis Enrique will give him more opportunities since they know each other from the Spanish national team already from earlier on, so we shall see how it goes. Carlos Soler has also had some rumors around him now, perhaps Premier League or even return to La Liga, but that is all just talk for now. But at least he has put his name on the table now. And of course, one match doesn't quite disprove all his previous underwhelming opportunities, but it's still a positive sign. And we do need players for all the matches during these times that are very congested. And especially now that he hasn't been selected to the Spanish national team, he's perhaps a little bit more fresh after the international break than many other players who have been traveling the continent, let alone the whole world. The third goal came sort of halfway of the second half, and it was pretty handy given go small passes type of football, and another somewhat sidelined Spaniard, Fabian Ruiz, finished that with a lovely chip, and he too was really great in this match. I think he might have been a little frustrated this season with his lack of opportunities with our midfield on lock with Ugarte, Shea, Emery and even Vitinha, but in a right playing style and formation with the right players around him, Ruiz can really bring in a lot, and he's a good player to have. I suppose these two players gave Enrique something to think about. It's important to have the depth, which is more or less what Enrique has been saying and said even now in the post-match interview. The other positives from this match were Bradley Barcola. Let's start with him. He isn't a big muscular guy by a long shot, yet his skill and dexterity help him to come out of the duels with ball quite often. He also strikes me as fairly fearless. He will take both the knock and the ball, and he's quick both thinking and playing on his feet, especially early on. He was really great. And another player who I kept forgetting initially that he was there on the pitch, but he got into the match very well as it was going on, and that was, of course, Lee Kang-in. A bit of a slow start, sure, but some solid football as the match went on. Kylian Mbappe, of course, is Kylian Mbappe. He got his goal from the penalty spot, but he was dangerous all the time. And what is happening now with him, especially Barcola on the pitch at the same time, is that Barcola is basically playing right there by the line at the side of the pitch where Mbappe used to be. So Kylian's starting point is a little bit more central in this type of formation. There's more support for him, and I don't think that we need to worry about him or his standard, his form, too much. He is, in my opinion, the best there currently is. Mbappe took several knocks in this match, and I felt that he could have been substituted. Perhaps he should have been substituted off, but he wasn't. Strasbourg has a little bit of a history of unapologetically injuring our players and even pracking afterwards, but of course for them too, the staff and the players have changed a lot, so we can't hold that too much against them now. But they did play hard, as you do. There were moments when we were lucky to not lose our players to injury. When Mbappe took his last knock from behind, he was on the ground in certain amount of pain, but as it was happening, there was already an offensive double substitution in motion. Ramos and Barcola were heading out, and Dembele and Kolomwani were coming in. This was around 66 minutes of play, and there's a chance that if the timing would have been slightly different, Mbappe would have been given some rest instead, but that didn't happen. I mean, I was thinking about the rest for his own benefit, because he was taking hits, and as a French captain, he also plays a lot of minutes, almost all of them during the international break. We have AC Milan in a few days, and the season, as it is, isn't going to get much more relaxed at any point. Is he calling the shots and doesn't want to come off, or is Enrique just choosing against it himself without any external pressure? I of course can't know that, but I'm hoping there will be ways for him to rest before his body forces it to happen. Now on paper, Gonzalo Ramos didn't have an amazing match and neither has the stats been earth-shattering for the whole early part of the season, but when you watch the match, like the one against Strasbourg, you see how much he works. His work rate is really great. He tracks back and helps defense, channeling his inner Edinson Cavani, and he works hard in offense also. But what I did notice for now is that there were a handful of situations in this match where the ball was delivered into the box, but he wasn't there. And there, of course, is where the ideal location for him is to be. I fear that the lack of delivery, which is understandable as it's still early days and the connections aren't flawless by a long shot, it has forced him to sort of outside of his usual area to impact the game a little bit more, so much so that when the ball then comes in, he isn't that well positioned to tap it in, rise to a header, or just smash the ball back to the net. I hope that with time he can just start trusting the process and finish the chances within the box, which in my mind is his job. And of course, the job of a striker is to score, but at the same time, as long as the team scores, it doesn't really matter who is the scorer as long as they are players who score. And this season, it feels that our goals are a result of solid teamwork rather than sort of magical moments by extraordinary individuals. As a game plan, this is far better, and I'm sure that all of our forwards will get their numbers up also as the time goes by. Against Strasbourg, I was also happy about our defense. The back three had a very professional night, and with the clean sheet, you can't really fault them too much anyway, because while PSG was very dominant and held once more by far the majority of the possession, 77.5% to be precise, Strasbourg wasn't bad and they had their moments also. I was also happy to see Nordi Mukiele on the pitch for some time, and even Shane Dour got some minutes, and I continue insisting that he is an interesting profile and one we don't quite have otherwise, so I'm hoping to see him getting more and more minutes at the end of these matches. And then of course there will be Coupe de France later and we will see how it goes, but his cameo against Strasbourg was very positive, even with the compulsory yellow card. I mean, which Italian PSG midfielder wouldn't have few of those? All in all, it was pretty fun and enjoyable match to watch, and from PSG's perspective, the highlight was the fact that we were a solid team despite the rotation and resting some of the starters. That to me gives a lot of hope, because in the seasons past, it hasn't always been the case. Up next, of course, is the Champions League match against AC Milan at Parc des Princes on Wednesday night. Milan is thereabouts on top of the Serie A. I'm recording this on Sunday afternoon, and tonight they're playing against Juventus, and depending on that result, they may be on top of the table or second after their neighbors Inter, but they are there in the mix domestically, even if in Champions League they haven't yet scored even one goal this season. They also haven't lost, by the way, so it's 2-0-0 results for them against Newcastle and Dortmund, so they have a lot to prove, and so do we, of course. I was mentioning this online on Twitter, where I'm at PSG Review Pod. I wrote that while this is hardly a scientific study or anything of that nature, it's nevertheless interesting how many difficulties we've had against our former PSG goalkeepers. Marcin Bulka was just crowned the Ligue 1 Player of the Month with Nice, and he hasn't yet been defeated by us since he left. Also Clermont, who are on the bottom of the table there. Mauri Diaw has won and drawn against us in the last half a year. And of course, AC Milan has the best French keeper, our PSG Titi Mike Maignan, in their goal. And with Mike Maignan, of course, we have played against him while he was in Lille. And it's a mixed bag. There's been some wins and losses. But hopefully we will find the net behind him a good couple of times. And with a little luck and good match, the former AC Milan keeper in our goal, Gianluigi Donnarumma, can keep a clean sheet. After this round of matches, we have reached then the halfway of the group stage, and the second half will include two difficult but amazing, undoubtedly, inevitably, inescapably amazing away matches to Milan and San Siro, as well as Signal Iduna Park in Dortmund, and between those, Newcastle will have to come to Park to hopefully taste their own medicine. PSG women have actually played three matches since the last time we spoke. One of them had to be interrupted due to reportedly some kids who were not let into the stadium to watch the match having their revenge by launching fireworks on the pitch. I was watching that from TV, pretty remarkable scenes there, but that match will probably be played later on again. There was also a solid win against Lille yesterday, Saturday, as I'm recording this on Sunday, like I said. This match ended moments before the Strasbourg match started, and four wonderful unanswered goals there, including the comeback goal of Marie-Antoinette Katoto. Then Sandy Baltimore, Tabitha Chawinga and Amalie Wang scored, also got their goals, but the big news of the week relates to Champions League. PSG beat Manchester United with style at Parc des Princes on Wednesday evening and made their way into the group stage. You have to remember now that in women's football, only one French team, the previous season's champion, gets there automatically to the group stage, and the second and the third one have to qualify with an additional round. And PSG made their way there, as did, by the way, against all odds Paris FC, by the way, and they knocked out the Champions League finalist from no more than a few months ago, that's Wolfsburg. The group stage draw was also held, and PSG will be meeting the German champions Bayern Munich, Amsterdam Ajax and AS Roma. This is a tough group, there's no doubt about that. It probably is the toughest this year, as was of course the case with our men's team. You can insert your own chosen conspiracy theory here, but of course with women's football also, we sometimes get easily confused when we play against big clubs who are strong and traditional in men's football, but that doesn't always mean that their women's project is on the same kind of level. Like, for instance, in England, it's far more recent development, all this that has got to do with women's football on this level. Bayern will be tough, there's no doubt about that. Ajax and Rome aren't easy either, but I do think that we should have every chance to get to the quarterfinals, which are directly after the group stage. There are fewer teams and no round of 16 in Women's Champions League. Thank you so much for listening. Hopefully you are well. Hopefully everything is going relatively smoothly in your life despite the world being in flames once more. And I certainly send my solidarity to the innocent people being bombed, brutalized and oppressed. This show isn't about that. But as a human, I do feel like even on this platform it bears to be said, especially since football is known for its moral void and often siding with the worst possible people there are. My name is Mikko. Catch me also online at PSG Review Pod on Twitter and simply at PSG Review on Instagram and TikTok. More PSG Review next time, but until that, take care and more than ever, peace.